that I've been mulling over for a number of weeks. And it's a question that's a centuries-old question. And today is a day to ask that question. Who is Jesus? Think about that. Who is Jesus? Blessed God and loving Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. And as we remember on this day that you did one of the most remarkable things for humankind that ever could have been done. You rose from the dead to let men know that those who believe in you shall have the opportunity to rise again. So we thank you, Lord, this morning for all that you have done. In Jesus' name we pray. As we are here this Easter Sunday, the question takes on great importance because Easter has a great import on our lives and our world. Why do I say this? It's because Easter brings hope. Without Easter, we humans really don't have any hope. Who is Jesus? This question brought many various answers. He was a good man, some said. For all that he did, this is a weak answer. He was a good teacher. This answer lacks substance. He was John the Baptist come back. Good company, but falls short of his greatness. He was Elijah returning. Very possible since Elijah was taken up. However, Elijah did some great miracles. They pale compared to what Jesus did. As is stated in Matthew 16:13-16, it says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? The Son of Man. So, we'll read that again to get the impact and import. He asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am, the Son of Man? Am. So, they said, some say, John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is who Jesus is. But that's just one instance of which we are told who he is. In the scripture that was read earlier, there were some hints as to who he was or who he is. I cannot use the past tense for Jesus because he is alive today. Amen. You are the Son of the living God. And in John 1:5, which was read earlier, it talks about where we know him from. In Genesis 1:1, says, God created heaven and earth. And in John 1, it also reminds us that he was part of all that was created. Nothing was created that he didn't create. No matter where you look or what you look at, he was involved in the creation. It continues. In the beginning, the Word was with God. From John 1:1. And in verse 3, it says, all things were made through him. If you missed it, the him there is Jesus Christ. In Matthew 3:16, after he was baptized, two very important things happened. First, the Holy Spirit rested on him, identifying the approval of God Almighty. Then God himself spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. The fact that after his baptism, those two things happened, and it's amazing, but in the following books, Mark and Luke records the same event, and they record it exactly the same way. However, this is not the only time that God spoke from heaven concerning the identity of Jesus Christ. In Matthew 17 and verses 1 through 5, that voice of God in verse 5 stops the conversation there. Now, what is the conversation? Jesus took three disciples with him up on a high mountain. And once there, he was transformed. His face shone like the sun. Now, I can imagine many of us on a nice sunny day, we go out, we don't try to look at the sun because we are told that if we do that, it will destroy our vision. But can you imagine these three men sitting there and they see the Lord, which they were with for years, all of a sudden be transformed, his face glowing like the sun, his clothes sparkling white. And Peter, you know, the bold one, would say, Lord, we should make three tabernacles for you. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. In the middle of his conversation, the voice of heaven said, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. That's all. Not Moses, not Elijah, Jesus Christ. You kind of say, okay, well, Jesus Christ. Nice. What else? Well, in John 1:14, he is referred to as the one and only from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then it also says, there is no one who comes with such an endorsement. As we look in also in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, there's a few verses there that's we should look at in Hebrews chapter 1 that identifies who Jesus Christ is. And it says this. God, who in various times and various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days, the current time in which we're living in, and of course, Hebrews was written quite a while back, but these last days in that scripture still refers to today. And it says, he has in these last days spoken to us. By who? His Son. And when we look at that, it describes him as being, he has been appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Jesus Christ was the only one whose word had power. We hear today, we hear a lot of people talking all kinds of things. Their word has no power. As a matter of fact, their word is not true. And I know a lot of you have been listening to the news and hearing all kinds of things. But you have to understand this. The only one whose word has power is Jesus Christ. Amen. By him, as we read earlier, if you believe on him and his name, you have the privilege of be calling a child of God. That's important to understand. Because if you do not believe on him, you have no standing with God. You're in a lost situation. You're fighting for recognition. You're trying to be something you're not. In John 14, Jesus says to his disciples, I and my Father are one. Now, here why that is important to understand. Because when we say, who is Jesus? We ask that question, who is Jesus? Jesus is God. He has said it plainly. I and my Father are one. But here's the thing. Philip asked him, Lord, show us the Father. And his response to him was, and I can just kind of imagine how he looked at him. Philip, but I've been with you all this time. Do you not recognize the Father? Now, you'll probably say, well, if God is Jesus Christ, then, you know, I can see him, I'm not dead. Because it said anyone who looked on the face of God, they're out of here. They're dead. But here's the difference. God put on flesh that we, or humans, could understand the God who created us. Not only that, but that he could also show us how to live. Earlier this morning, we sang a hymn that said that the blood of goats and lambs could not take away one's sin. And that's true. Because every time an animal was offered up, and it had to be done every year to remove sin, all it did was remind you of your sin. But when Jesus Christ went on that cross, he took away our sins. It wasn't for us to remember anymore, because he says he has cast them in the lake of forgetfulness. You are forgiven. But only if you believe on his name. Because Jesus Christ is God manifested so that we can see and we can believe. And it's important for us to understand, because as you saw when Peter said, we want to build some temples, you know, one for you, one for you, one for you. Today we are building temples. There are people building temples to false gods. You just yesterday, this right outside here, whole lot of commotion was going on. Watch your step, do this, whatever, waving flags. Their God is dead. The God can't hear them. The God can't do anything for them. And I'm not trying to put down other religions. Far be it from me. I'm not that learned to do that. But as far as I can say, this book is God's word to us. We have to open it and see what he says to us. Because there are things that we read every day and we believe, and they're false. But this here is the proof that not only Jesus Christ is Lord, but God. The word says it in many different places. The argument is going to be, well, the Bible was written by men. Different. If I wrote it, you could say it was written by men, and you don't have to believe it. But he chose men. God chose men to write down what he wanted to communicate to us. Now, we have two choices. Either you believe God or you don't. One thing I do realize, though, and I've heard it in many different occasions, for those of you who watch award shows and things of that nature or sports figures, one of the things that they always say when they receive their reward, oh, I want to thank God. Now you have to ask yourself, what God are they thanking? Because if you know what they're receiving the rewards for, in many cases, has nothing to do with honoring God. So when you hear that, you have to, who is God? Who is their God? I can only say to you is this. In Hebrews, as it says, that Jesus Christ has inherited the throne. He is the one that God has said, and the only one that he says, you are my son. He says that of no one else. No one else has been able to claim that particular title as the Son of God, except Jesus Christ. And here's what it says. I was a little past that. It says here, his only, the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his son, of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. Having become so much better than the angels. In verse 5 it says, for to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son? None. Today I have begotten you. He never said that to the angels. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be my son. But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. Who's the firstborn? Jesus Christ. Why is he the firstborn? Because in Bethlehem, he came as a babe. At Calvary, he was crucified, buried. And when they came to the tomb, he was not there. He was birthed from the dead, to rise again and as it says, to sit on the right hand of majesty. To me, the right hand has always spoke of power. Extreme power. I know some guys say, well, you know, my left hand's pretty strong. That's okay. But the right hand always speaks of power. And especially at the right hand of God. And for Jesus Christ, so again, when I ask that question, who is Jesus? He is the Son of God. But more than that, he is God manifested in the flesh. And for us today, our job, our goal, and our mission is to accept him as Lord and Savior. If you have not done so already, it is your responsibility to find out more what you are waiting for, what you're thinking about, and about doing it today. Today's the best day to do it. Because as this is Resurrection Sunday, as it said, it is also time for you to resurrect the new man in you through accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. There is no other way for you to be able to have any position with God until you acknowledge his Son. And that's what this is all about. We also can see that it talks about an inheritance. It says in verse 8, your throne, O God, is forever and ever, a scepter of righteousness. Scepter of righteousness, the scepter of your kingdom. There's one that wants to be a king today. There are people that are lifting him up and acknowledging him as king. But he has no scepter of righteousness. He has no endorsement from God on high. And as a matter of fact, he fools himself. Because without God, he is lost. This afternoon, please understand, it's not a matter about your political affiliation. It's not a matter about your organizational affiliations. It's not even about the money you have. It's about your spiritual relationship with God Almighty. And if you have not said, Lord Jesus, I recognize you as being not only the Son of God, but God manifested to us that we might know how to live life. I talk to a lot of young people and I always say to them, I said, listen, take the book of Proverbs, read that book every single month, every day. Take one chapter and read. At the end of the month, you should have a little bit more wisdom than you had the day first. For now, I have been reading that book in that way for more than 15 years. And every time I look at it, I see something new. I see something precious. I see the wisdom of God that was given to Solomon being pointed back to me. And the way that book opens up, it says it is a father talking to his children. See, I don't want to say sons because then they figure, oh, you're just talking to the boys. It's talking to both, boys and girls. And not only that, when it is doing that, it's given instructions, one, to the children, two, to the parents so that the children and the parents are honoring God. This morning, please be wise enough to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Be wise enough to ignore the foolishness of this world, which only multiplies day by day. But the Word of God is still the same. It still offers hope. That's why I say this Easter and any Easter that we are still here for offers hope. Why? Because Jesus rose from the dead. And in so doing, gives us hope that the same Lord that we believe in and said that he's coming again and that he will take us to be with him is true. So with that, I say your life can be in God's hands or it can be in your hands. And when I say, do you think your hands are that good? There's a commercial, they used to do this a lot. I don't see it too much now, but it says, you're in good hands with Allstate. I don't know about that, but I know that you're in good hands with Jesus Christ. Amen. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would touch the hearts of those who are here. That if they are still wrestling with the idea whether or not Jesus is someone to seek out and ask to come into their lives, help them make the decision, Lord. Help them to look at the things that they will face in this world, knowing that they will need help. But you are the only help that they need. So, Lord, we ask that you will bless them, that you will allow them to submit themselves to you. I know, Lord, the word of submission is such a hard word for us humans because it means we're giving up our rights. But it doesn't really mean that. What it means is it's opening us up to be able to be guided in the path of righteousness. So, Lord, touch them. Bless them. Let them know that coming to you is the best thing they could do in their life. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.